Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday. This is probably my favorite thing to teach on. It's the thing that God used to just transform my life, and I've seen this change so many people's lives that I love teaching on this, and it's what I call spirit, soul, and body. The recognition that you are a spirit. It's the spirit realm where all of the spiritual truths are located in you, and the relationship between that and your body and your soul. This just changed my life. And right before I get back into that teaching, let me mention that we have re-released my book. I've put out tens of thousands of my book on spirit, soul, and body. And now we have an accompanying study guide that goes along with it that has lessons in it. It's got a teacher outline where it has questions that you ask, and then there's questions for the person to take, an answer key. There's also a CD-ROM in the beginning of the book where you can reproduce this as many times as you want to provide materials for people. And this is designed for you to teach Sunday school or do Bible studies. Of course, it's good for personal study, but I'm really excited about providing this teaching in a way that it enables you to disciple other people. I really believe, this is my heartfelt belief, that this is probably basic Christianity 101. This ought to be the very first thing that a person learns when they get born again. And if they would learn this and get a firm grasp on these truths that I'm teaching in this series I call Spirit, Soul, and Body, I believe that it would be just like a foundation that would allow you to grow and mature as a Christian that would provide just unparalleled growth in your life. I really think that most people have missed this, that it's not a reality. It certainly wasn't a reality to me. And when I learned this, it's like the key that unlocked all the treasures of God. My life just transformed, and I still live by this every day of my life. I apply some truth, some application of this to my life every single day. And so I'm excited about it. I know what it's done for me. I know that what it's done for many, many people. And I believe that it has a potential of changing you. You know, let me just present it this way. If you love God, if you have made a commitment of your life to the Lord, and you believe that there is more from God for you than what you've experienced, but if you're frustrated how to get there, then I believe that this teaching is your answer. I really believe that. Now, it may need to be explained. This may just be like a foundational truth, an entry level, but this will begin the process of getting you out of that realm of being frustrated and not understanding the things of God. This will just make the Word of God come alive on the inside of you. So I'm very excited about this. I was sharing yesterday from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and we use that verse to basically establish that you do have a spirit, soul, and body. Most people have heard those terms, but functionally, most people consider the spirit and the soul to be just different names for the same thing. But no, you are a three-part being. You are a triune being. You aren't just body and soul, which most people understand that. You know your body. You're looking at my physical body. You're in touch with your physical body. You're in touch with a part of you that's not tangible as far as physical, but you have an emotional part that everybody knows. And instantly you know if you're happy or sad or whatever. But there's a third part of you that the Bible calls the spirit. And I also used this verse out of John 3:6 yesterday that Jesus said, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. Basically, he was saying spirit is spirit. It's a separate realm over here. And then there's the physical realm. There's this spiritual realm. They aren't the same thing. They exist at the same time. But you cannot discern the spiritual realm by any physical or natural thing. You know, I've had two or three emails in just the last few days where somebody heard me make a statement about somebody being raised from the dead. And they write in and they say, I want you to verify this. You give me some documentation. And, And if this is true, you know, we're going to put it in the newspapers and we're going to do this and we're going to just get in people's face with this and we're going to make it happen. And you know what? I don't think you can do that. First of all, I've seen three people raised from the dead. My son was one of them. And I queried the doctors about this. And I said, was he dead? And they wouldn't say he was dead. They just would avoid saying it. They would say nobody comes in the way he does and leaves any other way than in a body bag. And then they'd go on and talk about things. And then I'd say, so was he dead? And they'd say, you can't ever live through something like what he did. And they would go on. And later, they have said off the record that, you know, he was dead. He was stripped naked. He had a toe tag on. He was in a cooler. But see, for liability issues, people aren't going to say things like this person was dead, because if they were dead and if they put this person in a cooler, well, then they would be subject to liability issues because he came back to life according to the carnal way of thinking. If you don't factor God into it, somebody's going to say, so, you know, this was malpractice. There was still a spark of life there, and you put him over there. We could sue you. He could have been dead. And so they won't say those kind of things. And even if they did say it, well, then they would be in trouble with all the rest of their medical profession who don't believe in miracles, don't believe that people can be raised from the dead, etc. And if they were to say that, then they would suffer the criticism and the rebuke and the ridicule. They would start being said, you're a religious fanatic. You're supposed to be scientific. You can't assume that this person was dead. How do you know that they weren't in a coma? Anyway, the point that I'm making is, see, the physical realm, there is no way to really prove that the spiritual realm exists. There is no way to prove that God has done a miracle. If a person wants to be skeptical, you can always say that they just were in a deep coma and that somebody misdiagnosed it. And there's always a way around this. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, there was no doctor that verified that he had been dead for 4 days. I guarantee you, there's some people that if they apply the same standard to Jesus that they were trying to apply to me, that, you know, you have to have documentation and you have to have some medical doctor that will come out and verify this and some paper trail and some autopsy or something that verifies these things. If they tried to get me to adhere to that standard, if they tried to apply that same standard to Jesus, they wouldn't be able to say that Lazarus was raised from the dead or that the ruler of the synagogue's daughter was raised from the dead. There wasn't any modern-day medical pronunciation that they were dead. So here's my point. I'm just saying that some people are so skeptical, they want physical proof that this has happened. Spirit is spirit, flesh is flesh. And those people who are trying to come up with some physical proof of the spirit realm, you're spitting in the wind. Jesus said, that which is spirit, that which is flesh. You need to recognize that there is a spiritual world here, and you need to accept it on the basis of what the Word says. Now, to some people, there's probably some people watching this program, you'll say, well, that's not enough. I need some kind of physical proof. I've actually heard of stories where they have people who are dying on scales, and when they die, they weigh them, and as they, you know, exhale their last breath and stuff like this, they notice that there is a decrease in the weight of that body, that it's like something leaves that body, which according to the Scripture, it would be your spirit. Your spirit leaves, spirit and soul leaves at the point of death. And so they're trying to come up with some kind of physical proof that there is a spiritual being on the inside. But you know what? That's never going to satisfy anybody. Again, I say physical is physical, spirit is spirit, and the only way you can know what's going on in the spirit realm, John 6:63, Jesus spoke, and He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you want to know what's going on in the spirit realm, you've got to look in the Word of God and take what God's Word says. This, God is a spirit. John 4:24 says God is a spirit. And God has revealed the spirit world which He created, which He lives in, through the words that He's given us. And we have to get to where we start taking His Word as proof of what spiritual truth and reality is. Here's another scripture that goes along with that in James chapter 1, Verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." This is talking about your physical face in a mirror, is the modern way we'd say this. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So these verses are likening the Word of God unto a mirror. If you want to see if your hair's combed, you look in a physical mirror. And you aren't really seeing your hair. You're seeing a reflection of your hair. But you have learned to take what you see in that mirror and take action accordingly. Well, if you want to see what you're like in the Spirit, there isn't a physical mirror or a spiritual mirror in the physical realm that just shows you. You can't get science to somehow or another verify what your spirit is like. Spirit is spirit and flesh is flesh. So how do you know? You have to look into the Word of God and trust it as much as you trust the mirror that you look in. You know, when you look in that mirror, you just trust what you see. When you look in the Word of God, you need to get to the point that this is a spiritual mirror. You know, if somebody says, "How are you today?" Well, most people will give a response based on either how you are in your body or how you are in your soul. You'll say, "Oh man, I'm hurting all over. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I'm this, I'm that." Or you might say that, "Man, I'm really discouraged. I'm really sad this has happened," or "I'm really blessed," or "I'm really happy." See, that's all about your body and about your soul. But if somebody asks you, "How are you?" and if you responded about how you are in the Spirit, how do you know how you are in the Spirit? Well, this is a mirror. You'd turn over to like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," past tense, "blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you want to know what your spirit's like, you turn over there and you hold up your mirror and you say, "Well, man, I'm blessed. I got all spiritual blessings." You turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and it says, "The fruit of the Spirit," talking about what's going on in the spirit realm. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." That's what's in your spirit. See, if somebody says, "How are you in your body?" You say, "Oh, I'm hurting," or "Oh, I feel great today." Yeah, how are you in your spirit? "Well, according to this, I am full of love and joy and peace." And you know what? There's some people listening to me right now that you're just thinking, "So this is kind of just a mind game. It's not dealing with reality." In other words, you just, you know, you really are discouraged. You really are depressed. But the Bible says over here in Galatians 5:22 that you're full of love and joy and peace. And so you just say it when it really isn't so. And if you'll say it long enough and believe it hard enough, maybe it'll become reality. See, that's the way some people interpret what I'm saying. But that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the spirit realm is as real as this physical and soulish realm ever thought about being. As a matter of fact, everything physical that you see, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen, that's talking about physical, were not made of things which do appear. Now notice, everything physical, the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth, the trees, everything physical, tangible, you and me, every animal, the air that we breathe, everything physical that mankind can put in a test tube and analyze and say that this is real, this is tangible. Every tangible thing that exists was created out of something that cannot be seen. It didn't say that it was created out of nothing. See, a lot of people will say that God just created the worlds out of nothing. No, it was out of things. It was out of spiritual reality. Things existed in the heart of God. God is a spirit. God existed before anything He created existed. There was spiritual substance, and God created physical substance from spiritual substance. So the worlds weren't created from nothing. They were created from spiritual reality. So, here's what that means. The spirit realm is the parent force. Certainly, the parent has to be greater than anything it creates. If everything was created out of the spiritual realm, it was created of things which do not appear. That means it wasn't physical. It was created from spiritual substance. If spiritual substance is the parent force, then it's actually greater than the force that it created. The spiritual realm existed before there was anything physical or tangible. It exists during this time that there is physical and tangible things. And the Lord has said that there was going to be a destruction of this earth and a new heaven, a new earth, and the spiritual realm will continue then. The spiritual realm is greater by virtue of the fact that it has existed longer than anything tangible. It's greater in the sense that there aren't the same limitations on the spirit realm that there are on the physical realm. And it's greater in eternity. It's going to last forever, where this physical realm is going to pass away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth created. The spiritual realm exists. This isn't theory. This isn't just a mind game. When I'm saying that the Bible says that I've got love, joy, and peace, there are times that my physical senses, my five senses, can't discern that because I've got turmoil, I've got fear, I've got worry, I've got anger, somebody's hurt me, this and that, and I've got all of these things. And some people would say, well, see, you're just sitting there saying you got it, but the truth is you're angry. No, the truth is that in my spirit realm, I am identical to what the Word of God has to say about me. My born-again self, I do have love and joy and peace. Now, I might have anger out here in my emotions, but that doesn't mean that I don't have what the Word of God says. It means that there's a conflict between my physical, carnal man and the spiritual me that's on the inside. And the victory in the Christian life is not in denying that you have these negative things out here in the physical realm, but it's in realizing that that's not the real you. This is the real me. I'm now a born-again person, and who I am in the Spirit is the real me. And I let the spiritual man dominate and overwhelm the physical man with its negative emotions and fears and negative physical sensations. See, when God created Adam and Eve, just for time's sake, I'm going to refer to some of this. I won't turn over and read all of this, but you can study it on your own. When He created man in Genesis chapter 1, and then it was retold in Genesis chapter 2, it says that He formed his body out of the dust of the ground. And there was a physical, tangible body. Adam had a body just like you and me, but there was no life in it. It was like a corpse. And the Word says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word breathe there is the word, in the New Testament, it's pneuma. He breathed into man, and he became a living soul. God imparted spirit into him. And this word for breath in the Old Testament and the New Testament is what is translated spirit. In the New Testament, it's pneuma. And so what literally happened, God put a spirit in man, and at that moment, life came into man. Life doesn't come from the physical realm. Life comes from the Spirit. Another verse that would verify that is James chapter 2, verse 26, and it says, "As the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." That verse says that your body without your Spirit is dead. That shows that the Spirit is the life-giving part. See, that corresponds perfectly with when God took Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God imparted spirit, and instantly life came to man. James 2:26, if the spirit leaves, death comes to man. Spirit is the real life-giving part. And herein lies one of the great problems that people have. Most people do not acknowledge the spirit realm, not the spirit world outside, and certainly most people do not acknowledge that they are spirit and that the spirit part of us is the real life-giving part. And so they try and find satisfaction in all of these physical, emotional ways. They try and find it in money and in indulging their flesh and appetites and lust and desires. And they're trying to impart life and find contentment and real purpose in life in all of these physical ways, and as in a practical way, they deny the spirit realm, the spirit part of man. But it's just the opposite. The Spirit is the life-giving part of us. And if you experience life in your spirit, if you take the Word of God like a mirror and hold it up and begin to learn these truths and relate to God and find God, and if your spirit comes alive, it doesn't matter if your body is in pain. It doesn't matter if your soul has not been educated. It doesn't matter if you are suffering hunger and these physical sensations and needs are not being met. There are multiple examples of people that have found so much contentment through the spirit realm that it enables them to put up with physical hardships and emotional hardships, and they just are happy and joyful and stuff. And then on the other side of this, there are so many millions of cases of people that now have prosperity and peace and all of these things in the physical realm, and yet it's still totally unsatisfying because the spirit man has never been satisfied. I'm telling you, this is just profound. These are some of the basic concepts of humanity that most people do not understand. They are living a physical realm, thinking that if they can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, feel it, it doesn't exist. What I'm saying is that your five senses only monitor the physical body and the soulish, emotional part of you. But there is a third part of you, the spirit, that is the real life-giving part. If you haven't been born again, then the spirit that's on the inside of you is dead. Not meaning non-functional, it's functional, but it is functioning in death instead of in life. It's separated from God, the giver of that spirit. And so all it's doing is producing tragedy and hurt and heartache and stuff. That's all it can do because it's dead. But when you get born again, you get a new spirit that now has everything you need in it. And the rest of the Christian life isn't learning how to ask God to do something, but it's discovering what you already have in your spirit. It's becoming spiritually minded instead of carnally minded. And when you do that, I guarantee you, it changes everything around.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Mercy Santos.
I have never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994. And we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed. And phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th, and in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th. He'll also be in the New England area for a Gospel Truth seminar August 25th through the 27th, in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 11th through the 16th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I know that the Lord has touched many of you today, and you're just beginning to come alive, that you know what, there's more than just this physical, emotional existence, that there's a spirit being. And you've felt some life through this, and you just, you know, it's a help, but there's so much more, and you don't know exactly where to go. You know, I'd like to encourage you to get these materials, but as you call in, I'd really like to encourage you to ask someone just to pray and agree with you for revelation of this, that this would become reality. We have some wonderful people answering the phones. I mean, I get compliments on them all the time. They're mature Christians that will be able to help you. So call and request the materials, but also ask them for prayer.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled The Basics of Spirit, Soul, and Body, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
This is your invitation to join Andrew Womack for a very special live internet-only broadcast Thursday evening, July 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Be among the first in the world to hear Andrew's exciting announcement and learn the good news about the sanctuary. You will be blessed. To watch live, simply log on to www.awmi.net. That's Thursday evening, July 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, only on awmi.net.